What special thing should I talk to your people about? Because you know, it's not my message. It's not my service. Right? It's all yours. And so, time and time again, the word came out. Satan is a liar. Satan, you're a liar. From the first time he opened his mouth in the Garden of Eden and told Eve that surely she should not die, he lied. And he's had two purposes ever since the creation of mankind. Number one was to destroy the seed of woman, to destroy the lineage that would produce Jesus Christ. Because God told him in the garden that he'll bruise your head. That means he'll take your authority. And the second one is to wipe out the knowledge and word of God. Those are his only two commandments here on earth. Now, he tried to stop the seed of woman by having Cain kill Abel. Did he do it? Did he physically do it? No, he used the hand of Cain. And he used the hand of Herod to try and kill the baby Jesus, who was confirmed by the wise man. But he didn't do anything. See, we have to understand one thing. There's a lot of people running around blaming things on Satan. And Satan is saying, that weren't me. See, because Jesus stripped Satan of all authority and power. He came out of the grave with the keys to hell, which was the last hold that Satan had on us. So how does Satan affect us today? How come he is so effective today? And it has everything to do with the fact that people believe the lies of the devil and act on that. Even in the church, people believe the lies of the devil and they act upon that. If we would all stop listening to the devil, from the weeest, tiniest one to the oldest one, there would be no sin on this earth. Because that's where it comes from. That's the source. The Bible says the Satan is as a roaring lion walking upon the face of the earth to see who he may devour. I got news for you. That lion doesn't have any teeth. Jesus pulled them. He has no authority. He has no power. So we say, well, why didn't God just remove that? Make it easier for us. Why doesn't God just remove that? Satan is still attacking us today. And he is attacking us by the word that we hear and by the word that we believe. The very first lie that he told to man, modern man, was that there is no creator. There is no creation. He tried to replace that. But we the Christians, don't accept that. And if you go into the book of Romans, if I give you homework, that would be it. Read Romans 1. All the people who are in our Bible study at Oaks North, they know this one now by heart. Because we've taught this. Because if we can step out the lies of the devil, we can walk in victory. Complete victory. Romans 1 talks about the very first sin, which was the lie. Today, the majority of people on earth still believe that lie. And spend millions of dollars investigating it. And have yet to prove that evolution is anything but a theory baked up by mankind. He left us to our own devices. How can a world created by God, perpetuated by God, believe that abortion is anything but murder? How can you? Because from its inception as a seed, it is life. Yet, the majority of the world falls to that precipice. I'm going to step on a few more toes before we're done here. We all know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of homosexuality. A lie from the devil said, it's all right. It's not. It's not. It's a lie from the devil. It is sin. But we hear it over and over and over again until it starts to impact our minds. We, the faithful, understand that it is wrong. We have been taught to love the sinner, but hate the sin. But the thing is, the more we hang around and the more we allow that to infiltrate our system, the bigger part of us it becomes, to the point where it no longer even affects us when we hear it. You look at video games. What is the devil's desires for video games? It's mass killing. It takes away all of our negativity towards it. It desensitizes us to the point where we say, killing is just killing. And not killing is taking a life. So many violent crimes happen today because the devil has lied to the children and said, it's all right for you to point the gun and pull the trigger. It's just a game. It's just a game. The lies of the devil. What is the lies of the devil trying to do? To step out the word of God. I'm going to read from Matthew 13. We're going in a different direction, God. That's okay. But it's the farmer's chapter. It's the farmer's chapter. Now, I got to say now, before I go any further, right? I said, God, how can I teach this without some kind of, you know, condemnation hitting home? And he says, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? The love chapter. If you do it in love, you're not just a cymbal clanging or a gong gonging. It has to be done in love. And so forth. I present this in love, God's message in love. Is it wrong for me to say I love you? That's a man saying I love you, but that's taking a stretch. But no, it isn't. That's another lie from the devil that says men shouldn't say I love you. It's all right to do it with your wife behind closed doors, right? But it is so unnatural for a man to say I love you. Why? It's a lie. It's a lie from the devil to stop God's love. If you don't feel loved in this place today, if you don't feel loved, it's because of the lies of the devil. Because everybody here loves everybody. I heard the scriptures this morning being read that said, if you do not have love for your brother, your father's love is not in you. And therefore we know that we love each other and we would defend each other to the death. Amen. Amen. So out of love. But we're talking about the world bombarding us. We're talking about Satan's lies bombarding us. And I quite often go to the four soils of the heart. This is the farmer's chapter, Matthew 13. So the farmer can come out in me today. I'm just going to go back up a few steps. I was with my brother last night. We kind of got stranded. Satan was trying to keep us from getting home. And I couldn't get a hold of any of my kids. My kids, they all have cell phones. Should be able to get them just like that. But no. They look at the cell phone, our dad's called. Put that away. But we were in a stuck place. We were miles and miles from home without a way of getting home. And none of my boys would answer the phone. So I phoned my brother. And he thought this was a great thing. This was kind of like some special ops. We're going to go and pick up Wenzel and Kim and we're going to have a little time of fellowship and a coffee. And goodness gracious, you know, if you look at the cloud, if you always look at the cloud and look for a silver lining, it is always there. The blessings of the Lord hunt us down. They chase us. But the reason I brought this up is because my brother and I were talking. And he says, you know what? Our Father has never told us that He loves us. And he said, I've finally come to grips with that. I've finally come to grips with that, and I've accepted the fact that He's a man. And I say it that way because when we say it that way, it refers to something other than the man that God created. Because God created us to love. God created us to fellowship. So he says, I got over it. I just understand it. It wasn't me, it was him. Right? And we just carry on. But when we talk about the soils of the heart, getting back to the message. Right? Number one soil is a weak soil. That's just stony ground. That's the path. Right? There's no protection there whatsoever. And Satan, with a little lie, can take us out. With a little lie, he can steal the word of God. I can tell you today that you are loved. But Satan can come and he can snap that away like that if you don't have any depth of soil. If you don't understand and have knowledge of God. The second soil, is thin soil. These are guys who have cultivated a little bit. These are people who have visited the church. Right? And when they hear something from God, they receive it, they accept it. But out there in the world is persecution. Out there in the world is the devil's lies. And when you face that and you're not deeply rooted and grounded in God, it'll disappear. Right? The birds took the first seed, and this seed, it sprang up with joy. But because there was no root, it died in the sun. It died in the heat. Heat of the moment, I call it. Then we have the third soil, and this is the one that we're kind of getting into today. The third soil, right, is full of thorns and weeds and thistles, right? They are the cares of the world. They are the money system of the world. They are the lies of the devil. And the Bible says that if you live in that soil, if you try to operate in that soil, it will, not might, it will choke you out. It will take you out. I've often said that once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody can take you out of there, not God. But it's written in pencil. And you got the eraser. The only guy who can take you out is you. And when you live in the third condition of the heart, amongst the weeds, amongst the cares of the world, it will erase you. Why? Because it's stealing the knowledge of God. Why? Because you believe the world now more than you do the promises of God. When famine comes, what's the first thing you say? I'm going to bring it a little closer to home. When taxes come, what's the first thing you say? Man, I can't afford these taxes. I can't afford all these tax increases. It's starting to cramp my lifestyle. Do you know what the Christian would believe? I thank God that I have enough money to pay more taxes. Right? But we start to believe the way the world believes. I cannot believe that half the country was stuck in fear for 2 weeks while they hunted down 2 kids. Half the country was stuck in fear. Why? Oh, I know why. Because those people were believing the lies of the devil. That these guys could harm you. My God protects me. If my God before me, who can be against me? God will always make a path of escape in times of trouble. The Bible says so. That's not things I'm making up here. It's the lies of the devil. And if we hang around in a place where we hear more from the devil than we hear from God, we are on dangerous ground. Because with time, just as water washes away the shore, the devil will erode the word of God from our lives. And we can't allow that to happen. We have to stand up to that. Don't believe the lies of the devil. It's Healing Sunday, so we're going to get around to some lies that the devil have regarding healing. But I just wanted to go through this first. Why would God allow this to continue to be in our lives? Why? I look back to Jesus and His ministry. And Jesus had a rascal in His ministry. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that He addressed it. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that He took it out. Why? Because He wasn't listening to the lies of the devil. He wasn't listening to the devil. He was listening to the voice of the Lord God. Everything that He said came from God. And that's an example to us. You know what? There are people around us that we know are not the sons of God. So why doesn't God remove them? Why didn't Jesus remove Judas? Have you ever thought about that? I try to think about these things, you know. If God knew that Judas was stealing from the purse, why didn't He remove him? And this next proverb, this next parable that I'm going to talk about will tell you why. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. Another parable He put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." Okay, let's just stop right there. Where's the kingdom of heaven? That's here. That's in us. The kingdom of heaven is like this. "A man who sowed good seed in his field..." Starting at, I should reference it, starting at verse 24 in Matthew 13. "A man sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept," that's nighttime, "his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the same time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" There we have the answer to why Jesus didn't remove Judas. Because by pulling Judas out, a public act would have taken, even if it was just one good man with him, was too much to bear. We can't be busy going around trying to pull out the tares, pull out the weeds. Because you know what? Every time that I've done that in the past, in a place that I worked called the school, I was the bad guy when I tried to uproot the evil. And when I read this, I said, no more. No more am I going to try and uproot the evil because I take out good with it. We're the same way. What are these tares? Right? If we go to verse 37, he's explaining this to them. "He who sows a good seed is the Son of Man," Jesus. "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom." That's us. "But the tares are the sons of the wicked ones." Who are the wicked ones? The unbelievers. Right? They don't look so wicked, but they are. "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age." Don't worry about those guys. God got that under control. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." That's a pretty petite word for a big weed and the things that it's doing in this world. Offenses. Not little offenses, big offenses, offenses. We have to be very careful to guard ourselves against offending. "And those who practice lawlessness and cast them in a furnace and fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." There's a picture of hell. "Then," I love this, verse 43, mark it down. "Then the righteous will shine forth." Then the righteous will shine forth. What does that mean then about pre-harvest? Right? What stops us from shining forth? The weeds. The lies of the devil keep us from shining forth. Got to get away from the weeds. Get out of soil number 3. Get into soil number 4, where you hear the word, you believe it, you receive it joyfully, and you are blessed immensely. "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Pay attention to that, this means. Pay attention to that. I talked about lies. And lies get into the church as well. I read a support document regarding this parable. And it said, the reason why God didn't pull the weeds is because the weeds look like the wheat. And there is a weed called darnel, which looks like wheat. All right. Are you all believing that? Because I'm about to cut that down. It says here, so the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" That tells me that the servants could easily identify the weeds. Right there. But the devil would bring, and this was a pastor that wrote it, and fine. Right? There was just a little bit of ignorance. I make mistakes too, so I don't throw stones. Okay? But that's a lie from the devil. We recognize the weeds among us. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a room where there is a lot of unbelievers, I feel that. When I walk into, and if even if you only listen to their conversation, you know. We're about to embark on one of the worst weeks. I'm not going to profess that. But the staff room is open again for business. And we all know that what's said in the staff room very quickly identifies who said it and where they're at. And especially now with political on top of that. Right? We will very easily be able to see who is wheat and who is weed. Very easily. I can identify that. So, unlike the wheat in the field that's planted right beside the weed, we have graciously been given two legs that we can flee the weed. Which means we flee the lies of the devil. I had a political party, this is all I'm going to say about politics today, phoned me and said, "Do you think we can have your support in this election?" I said, "Well, let me put you to the test." There was a bit of a moan. Because I was doing the talking, not the listening. I say, "Do you believe that number one, abortion is murder? And number two, that homosexuality is sin? And number three, that evolution is a lie? Can you tell me honestly that you meet those three? Because then you have my support and more. Otherwise, we're wasting time here on the phone." There, my political plug is done. The lies of the devil. Get away from them. If it means for me eating lunch on my own, somewhere in a place where I can pray and praise God while I'm eating and not surround myself with 45 different staff members of different places, I will do that. Why? Because I can guarantee myself a good afternoon. Do it not. And all those words that we hear, all those lies that we hear, will so get into us that they will become a part of us. And the lie from the devil is, unless you believe that and participate in that, you cannot fellowship with us. Good. I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be. Because it's lies. If there is something missing in your life today, as a Christian, it is because somewhere, deep down, you have believed the lies of the devil. Because this book, this Bible is full of promises. And if all those promises manifest in my life, I walk free. I'll unhook the caboose of baggage that comes with me and I will walk free. Because God said it and I believe it. But maybe it was when you were young. Maybe it was ages ago. Something that you heard but you never dealt with in your conscience. And you just accepted it. It's still a part of you. See, that's the only way that the devil can affect you. The devil doesn't have a sledgehammer that's going to hit you over the head to get his point across. You know what the devil has? The devil has minions. People who will propagate his lies. And that's all that the world is about. Let's talk about a few lies where it comes to healing. Some diseases are too big to be healed. Have we heard that? I know people who are stuck in it because they believe that this is now their life thing. And I say that's a big lie. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That means keep Him here. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. It doesn't say some, it says all. There is no disease that's too big for God to undertake. Now, there was a man who approached Jesus when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, I got this son with epilepsy. And quite often he throws himself in the water and he throws himself in the fire. And I've asked your apostles to get rid of this thing. Disciples at the time, actually. To get rid of this thing. But they could not. What did Jesus say? It's a Pastor Terry favorite thing. Bring him to me. And immediately he was healed. And the apostles said, why couldn't we do that? So Jesus said to them, Matthew 17:20-21, because of your unbelief. Ooh, that was right between the eyes. No lie. Straight truth. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Faith of a mustard seed. However, little disclaimer here, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are tougher things to get rid of. But we can get rid of them. And in places the church has got slack. And we don't do the fasting thing so much anymore. Because the dietitians of the world tell us if you do that, that's bad for your body. I don't know. I've went on some fasts. Never been too bad for my body. My body was too big to start with. A little trimming down was okay. But how are we supposed to fast and pray when we have jobs that we have to go to? Listen, if you dedicate yourself to God, you will always have time for the things of God. God will make that time for you. There is no disease that God can't heal. Don't accept the lie of the devil. Hallelujah, time is slipping away here. It's not God's will to heal you. God put this on me for a purpose. Number one, God does not put disease. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except for to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his business. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Sickness is not abundance. Don't believe the lie from the devil that it's not God's will to heal you. It is completely God's will to heal you. Galatians 3:13 says, "We are redeemed from the curse. For it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed." So He has removed the curse completely from us. What is sickness and sin? Sickness and sin is a part of the curse. Let me look at it this way. So God saved you, but He left sickness on you? No, that's a lie from the devil. We have been completely redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, from the curse of the law. Leaving that curse there would be a reminder to God that His promise wasn't good enough for us. That is why He has given us a road to get rid of it. He has made us a way of escape. But if we believe the lies of the devil, we'll never get there. It is the number one principle in receiving healing from God, is to understand that it's completely God's will to heal you. And there are some theologians who say, "Oh, God put sickness on some people to show His glory." Have you ever heard this nonsense? It's all over the place. It's His glory that you be sick. How? How can it be to His glory that we be sick? Think of yourself as a parent. Is it to your glory when your kids are sick? No, you will do anything you can to get rid of that sickness. Anything. You will even go see the doctor. After you pray to God, hopefully. It is not glory to have sickness. Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, I'm going to go to it just to make sure that I get it right. Hallelujah. I love this stuff. Because this is just poking it back at the devil. This is just giving it back to him. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul talking. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." So he's basically what he's saying, so that I don't become a little bit too much the star, so I can stay humble. "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Messenger of Satan is not physical in the flesh. Messenger from Satan is spiritual. So he had a spiritual opposition that he continued to press against, lest he got himself a little too prideful. It says nothing about sickness here. But people still say, "Oh, God is putting this sickness on me to teach me a lesson." There is no bigger lie. There is no bigger lie. He is not. He's not trying to teach me a lesson through sickness. Now, that doesn't mean He doesn't allow sickness. Psalm 91, I'm going back there again. Hallelujah. It's become my favorite place in the Bible, next to Romans. No, 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 no. There it is, because it's bookmarked, it's easy to find. All right. Psalm 91. The first two verses. First verse only. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Does anybody have a mental picture of this? As to how close you are to be to God in order to have His shadow hit you. If I look at a bald eagle flying in the sky, And he casts a shadow. It's not all that terribly big a shadow. So that what the author David is trying to get across you here is we have to stay close to God. Now, it does not say, shall visit under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know how many Christians are visitors to God's glory and to God's protection and to God's promises and to God's provisions? There's a bunch of them. How do I know? Because there's still sick ones among us. And there are still ones carrying on among us. Even though we, as Christians, usually look the other way because we don't want to become the accuser of the brethren. We don't want to do Satan's work. But they figure they can go and visit every now and then and have everything that God has to offer. And you know what? They're half right. Half truth. Because when they're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, they have everything that the covenant promises to them. But here's the promise, or here's the problem. They visit. I've been here now. Everything is cool. Everything is good. I'm going to go for a walk on the wild side. Right? If we look at the Exodus from Egypt, every one of God's people were healed and healthy and whole. From the weeest to the biggest. Right? There was no lame, there was no blind. Hollywood got it wrong. They lied. Even in a Christian movie, they lie? Yeah. Because they take the Bible out of context. And they wonder why there's no power. The power is in believing God's truth, not the lie. So stop visiting in the shadow of the Almighty. Abide. What does abide mean? Abide means to live there. If somebody is abiding in my house, they're living there. They're not just visiting. We have to learn to abide there. The Egyptians, when they left Egypt, not the Egyptians, those guys stayed behind. The Hebrews, when they left Egypt, it didn't take them long to start complaining. Why? They were just miraculously delivered. Now, when I say miraculously delivered, they were not only let go, but the Egyptians gave them all their gold and silver and sent them on their way. They got out in the desert, protected by fire, right? Cloudy on a hot day. They had everything. What's the first thing they did? They started murmuring and complaining. What's this place you got for us here, Moses, next to the sea where we can be taken out? Rather than just believing in God. Rather than just believing in God and abiding with God, they visited. And it was a short visitation. And it cost them mightily. Even though nobody died, that slave mentality went across the Red Sea with them. They needed to leave that behind. We need to leave the lies of the devil behind. And we need to start researching the truth. Right? The only place I know the truth to be 100% is in this book right here called the Bible. Anything written, to fill in the holes, so to speak, for those who are less educated, are filled with inaccuracies. Stop believing the lies of the devil. If there is something wrong in and around your life, it's because you're believing the lies of the devil. I told my brother yesterday, I can't wait to get back to school. He looks at me, I've never heard that out of you before. I said, I've stopped believing the lies of the devil. That he can take me out and that he can move me around the way he pleases. He cannot! Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Does that mean things aren't going to happen? Things are going to happen. but the way I deal with them now are so much different because I believe the truth of the gospel rather than the lie of the devil. Amen? Amen? So when we walk away from here today, hold your head up high. Smile. Because the strength of the Lord is, or the joy of the Lord is your strength. Smile. Walk high. Right? Don't worry about those little obstacles out there that are going to make you walk around them. Right? Find the glory of God and walk, step around them with joy in your heart and love in your spirit. Amen? And we will be successful. We will remove the lies of the devil, and when we remove the lies of the devil, then we are natural oracles of God. Natural oracles of God, because we can profess the word of God Almighty. Right? The Hebrew nation had a problem with that. The nation before Noah had a problem with that. And the people around Abraham had a problem with that. But we do not have a problem being the oracles of God and being the mouthpiece of God, because we have the truth in us. And the Bible says, the truth shall make you free. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Let's walk in that freedom. Let's refuse to listen to the lies of the devil. Let's remove ourselves from the tares so that we can live amongst the wheat. Amen? Amen. Have a wonderful week. We will see you all on Tuesday. God bless you.